Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, if you have a legal question, I'm here to help you in any way I possibly can. All you have to do is to dial the number. Hey, your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, personal injury. It can be about landlord-tenant. It can be just about anything you have a problem with. It doesn't even have to be a legal question. And I'm attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney, host of Ask an Attorney for over 35 years now. I think this is the longest running radio show in Florida continually with the same host, same format every single week. We've been on for 35 years on multiple stations around. I was nationally syndicated for 2 years, and now we're on 14 stations around Florida. And if I can help you, if you're listening, to a live show, a little after 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And if you would like to call in, here's the toll-free number. It's 877-943-9673. Hey, could I sit here and talk for an hour? Sure. I could answer 20 questions I have floating around in my head, give you the answers, but I'm much rather, I come in here to talk to you, really. I come in here to help you. And by helping you, I'm helping others. And the whole format of the show is for me to come in on a Saturday morning and come in and help as many people as I possibly can. So if you have a legal question, a legal concern, something maybe that kept you up during the night, again, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Hey, we're broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We had a busy client schedule yesterday in Jacksonville. Come here every other week, actually. It's one of our 15 office locations or so. We really have more than that, but we have multiple office locations where we can meet people working with a variety of CPAs and financial planners. But we also have 15 of our own offices. We have offices here in Jacksonville, and I come here every other week. My primary office location, my headquarters office, I call it, is in Largo, Florida. Every week I go to several offices in Polk County. We have several offices in Hillsborough County. Several offices, of course, in Pinellas. We also have offices in Manatee, Trinity, Pasco, here in Jacksonville, the Orlando area, Leesburg, the Villages, Claremont, Jacksonville, with offices down in St. Augustine we can have use of. But if you have a legal question, we don't charge anything for first appointments, by the way, to review existing documents. And if you'd like to contact our office, we'll give that information out during the show. Let's go to our first caller, though, and let's go to Phil in Orange. It says Orange Ooh. Blank. Where are you from?
It's Phil from Orange Park, Florida.
Orange Park, Florida. Okay, what can we do for you?
Joe, good morning. In December, this is a good friend of mine has a situation. He received a letter from Social Security, and they're going to deduct $399 or less every month starting January 1st. So I took him down to the local Jacksonville Social Security office. And make a long story short, they went over everything, this and that, and they figured out it was an error. So he signed the paper that he didn't have this massive deposit and everything and this and that, which I don't, he's 75 years old. Mm-hmm. And January kicks in the third week. He gets the $399 taken out. Of course, February kicks in, and it looks like they're going to take it off again. So I'm going to take him back to Social Security. Now, the only thing he did, which I don't think this affects it, he sold a house He downsized from $175,000. He sold his house for cash, put it in the bank. Then he bought a house for $123,000. So he has a little extra there. But I told him, I says, you know, I checked with a local lawyer on that, our town attorney, and make a long story short, he says, Kenny, if he wins a $10 million lottery tomorrow, they can't deduct, they can't take away his Social Security unless he owed them money or something like that, or it was the wrong amount they were paying him. But do you have any thoughts on that?
I think you're correct. I think you just take him back in there, they'll make the correction, and then he'll get a larger check here, you know, maybe next month.
Yeah, I told him, I said, it might take a little while for them to catch up, but they'll give you what.
Yeah, they'll catch up, and they'll make it right. Sometimes you just have to be a squeaky wheel going in there and insisting they get it fixed.
And he wouldn't go unless I take him, but I don't have any business there. But I go, I bring my book, and I sit next to him, and, you know, he just he gets it taken care of. Thank you very
much.
There'll
be a good deed for the week.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the number 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And our phone lines are open. We're here to help as many people as we can. All you have to do is to call that number. Let's go to Nancy in Sarasota. Hey, Nancy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. Good morning. I'm trying to help out a veteran who is an alcoholic, and he was hit by a truck crossing the street. So I brought him to an attorney's office. You know, they looked at his, you know, police records and all that, and they came back to me and said that because he was at fault, he wouldn't be liable for a lawsuit. He ended up in the hospital for a week. He actually got a visitor.
Wait a minute. The veteran was at fault because of an accident?
That's what the attorney's office told
but,
me.
But he was at fault, but he wouldn't be liable. So is that what you said?
That the veteran was at fault because he was inebriated walking across the street.
Mm-hmm.
He was hit by a truck. Hit by a truck. And the law office said because he was at fault, he couldn't file a lawsuit. And I was trying to find, you know, if that is correct.
Well, I think I would get a second opinion because sometimes what they do is they allocate a percentage of fault to each party, and then that would still be he might still have a case. You're calling from Sarasota. I can give you if you want to contact me by email, or I can give you the name of another attorney to at least talk to.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
So I'll be glad to do that. If you want to call our toll-free office number, do you want to email me or call me?
I can call you.
All right, call our toll-free office number, 1-800.
Okay.
226-3529.
Right. Thanks so much.
Was he injured badly?
Oh, yeah.
So he has permanent injuries?
Yes, but also the other strange thing is, I guess they took him to, he got a visitor in the hospital, and this visitor, tries to remember there was some Progressive Insurance, made him sign a piece of paper and said that he would get about $35,000 for this accident, but because he's indigent and he really is a homeless person, veteran, you know, he doesn't remember who the person was, he didn't write down the person's name. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Well, you know, so there are some vet services, too, that can help. If he got a large sum of money and he wanted somebody to kind of help him with it, he could set up a trust and have monthly or
exactly.
weekly.
What he wants.
Yeah, weekly payment.
Right.
There'd be some things we could do to help him, I'm sure.
Okay, I just took him down to Social Security this week and got him signed up for that. He's going to be getting, starting next week, a Social Security check. I filed for disability for him because he's really a wonderful man, but, you know, in bad shape due to circumstances.
Yeah.
There's a lot of homeless here in Minnesota, and he's just, you know, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I just really want to, if he wants to buy a trailer, that's what he told me, with if he got a settlement to live in a trailer, you know, versus the street. So, thank you.
Well, it sounds like he's got a great friend in you trying to help him, and that's great. I mean, he served our country, and a lot of his condition might be might be based on what's happened to him during the service and so forth, and injuries and not being able to work, and you turn to alcohol. I mean, I understand all that, so he should be helped. And, you know, so I'll give you the name of an attorney to talk to him and see if we can, you know, collect that $35,000 or whatever it's worth.
Thanks so much. I'll be calling you.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney for over 35 years, and I'm here to help you if I can and just try to be of service. My day is a lot better when I'm helping people. I can tell you that. Let's go to Kevin in St. Pete. Hey,
this
Kevin.
Is Kevin. Hello.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about, I don't know about probate or trust or any of that stuff, but I understand my father passed away a long time ago, and my stepmom, I can't get a hold of her. But I have, and I'm applying for a death certificate in Louisiana. And I'm still waiting on that. They have to get that correct and everything. But I was wondering about if there's a will, I could do something during this period to see if there's any kind of a trust to a will or.
Well, let me ask you this: do it? Okay. You can if there was a will and he died years ago, it could have been filed at the court, which now it's a public record. You can go to the courthouse and find it. The more important question, though, of whether it's worth your while to pursue it would be, do you know of any asset that's still out there in a deceased, you know, person's name?
Oh, yes. And the thing is with that, there's a home involved in Brandon that I send mail there, and I get no response to the mail. And I call the phone lines, and sometimes someone picks up, but I don't think it's my stepmom. And she didn't pass. I tried Brandon, and no one's passed in Brandon. And my counselor said, why don't you try Louisiana? So I tried that, and it's on the Internet, her name, and that's a burial place where she wants to be buried. And it says unknown about the deceased part.
Mm-hmm. So all right, here's what I would do, Kevin, I think.
Okay.
If you call an attorney, and let's say if you called me, but if you called any attorney,
nobody will speak to me. That's the situation.
Well, no. Okay, hold on. So if you called me and gave me the address of the property,
yes, it's
in Brandon, right?
Oh yeah, and I would like anybody.
Okay, hold on. Just listen to me.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
So if you called me, gave me the address of the property, I'd ask you the address of the property. I then would look up.
Sure.
I would look up the address. I would look up on the county records who owns the property.
Thank you. Okay.
So then that would tell you who the owner was. And then based on who the owner was, if it was your dad and he was a Florida resident and he died a long time ago, hopefully the taxes and everything have been paid and it hasn't been foreclosed against. If it's your stepmom, hopefully the tax. When did she die?
Well, I don't know if she's died.
Oh, I see.
I can give you the address. I can give it if you
would. All right, well, that would be the first step. Why don't you, if you call me, I will promise you I'll look up the property on the county records and tell you who the owner of the property is, and then we go from there.
Okay, when should I call you?
You can call me Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay.
You're calling from Brandon or St. Pete?
From St. Peter.
Okay, so I'll give you, if you're calling from St. Pete, I'll give you the 727 number. So it's 586.
586.
3306.
3306.
And go to extension 200.
Extension
200. And just tell Laura that I said that I wanted you to call me and to look up some information on the county records. And then she'll give me the message and we'll look it up. You can give her the address of the property as well, and then when they send it to me, I'll have everything ready to talk to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Hey, Bite, you could watch Ask an Attorney this morning. I'm in Jacksonville, but we're on Facebook Live. Come in with my little tripod and my cell phone and go to Facebook and get all connected and go to hit the live button and do stream the Ask an Attorney show live. So you can join us. I think we're on the open page, but if you want to join Ask an Attorney, we have our own Ask an Attorney page. We have a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page and, of course, have a personal page. We have close to 20,000 people on all of those three pages, and when we also take the Facebook, the show that we stream, and turn it into a YouTube channel. So we have a YouTube channel on YouTube of Ask an Attorney shows and appearances and speeches and all kinds of things that we video and plant those over there on YouTube. So you can listen to Ask an Attorney every week, and also you can watch Ask an Attorney every week. Also, we're on WeBeam, the WeBeam TV network. So they have a bunch of shows that they have on their internet network, and we're one of them. So you could go there and also watch that. Hey, we have open lines right now. So if you have a question, you can call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. So I was reviewing some documents recently, and the people that came in had wills from another state. They had a living trust. The wills they had, though, were signed by them and witnessed, but they were not notarized. The trust was notarized. Now, I find that interesting that the trust was notarized from another state, but the wills weren't. So I began to explain, well, hey, your wills aren't notarized. And what that means is when you die, if there's something that the will has to deal with and you present the will to the court, they're going to we have to go through a process called they have to appoint a commissioner in the other state to find and take the oath of the witness. And if you just redid your wills in Florida, they would be called self-proving. And if it's a self-proving will that's properly witnessed and notarized, then you don't have to go through the proving the witness in another state. So basically, this client decided to do new wills, new Florida wills. So just take the old will, and now we do a new will, but now it's going to be witnessed and notarized in Florida, and it's going to be self-proving, so you never have to go through that procedure. They also updated their power of attorneys because they had, you know, power of attorneys from long ago. And those power of attorneys probably, when I reviewed them, would probably have not have worked in Florida very well. So what we do is we redid their wills, and we redid their wills totally, make them Florida wills, self-proving wills, and we also updated their power of attorney. So, hey, maybe you're in that position. Maybe you think you have a valid will from another state, but maybe it should be reviewed. We don't charge anything to review documents, by the way. And our toll-free office number, no matter where you're listening today, our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Clearwater, Florida, and talk to Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you? Best day ever.
Good.
It's only going to get better, right?
It is?
Yeah, sure.
About to, yes.
What can I do for you?
I just wanted to congratulate you on your 35 years that you commented on earlier.
Well, thank you.
Program. I don't need any law help. I was just listening. I'm not a listener. I was going in early this morning and heard the way you speak and articulate people, and I wanted to say congratulations. And you're serving a very good. You're helping a lot of people that necessarily can't answer a lot of these questions on their own. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we got bad news. If you're talk radio listener fans, we got bad news this week about Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh started his, I remember when he first came on the scene in 1988. And I was 4 years into doing talk radio. I got started in 84. So he came out on 88. And, of course, they announced this week that he has serious lung cancer stage in his life. And he's going through treatments and all that. So that's sad. If you're a talk radio fan, you appreciate everything Rush Limbaugh's done for sure. And I'm not comparing myself to him at all because I do a weekend show and he prepares and he does a three-hour show every day, you know, during the week. So I'm not comparing myself to him, but I know when you think of talk radio, that's certainly somebody you think about. But Brian, I appreciate you calling. I really do.
You got it. And have a wonderful day.
All right, thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, we're about a third of the way through the show, maybe a little bit more than a third. Phone lines are open. Love to help you. Hey, you know what? I'm helping you. We're both helping lots of other people. A lot of people have questions. It kind of comes in and goes out of their mind a little bit, but they wonder about it. And they could be doing something better than what they have. And they hear us talk about it. And then they apply to themselves. So we've both helped someone. You're doing a good deed when you call in with your question and comment. So, also in the last few days, I met with clients who really don't know how to distribute assets to their heirs. You know, some people come in and don't have heirs. They don't have children. They don't have surviving brothers and sisters. They don't have nieces and nephews. So they come in, and most of the time when those people come in, I would say a good part of them really haven't finally decided what they want to do with their estate. Hey, some of them don't care, actually. So what do they do? So we talk about all the options they have. So in a person like that, though, it's important that they plan for their own care while they're living. And a lot of people just think, well, you know, I don't care where it goes when I die. Well, do you care how it's used for your benefit when you're living? Because you have to give someone the power to be able to use it for you. You have to give them a power of attorney to be able to get to your assets for your benefit. And maybe a trust would be a good idea where they can manage everything in the trust for your benefit if you're unable to manage it. And, you know, are you involved? Maybe you have an illness. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you have something. So, and you're getting good help, and doctors and medical people are helping you, or maybe you belong to a great church. There are lots of things you can do with your money. You can give to charities. You can give to churches. You can give to causes you believe in. You can believe to groups that have helped you. You know, I'm on an executive planning committee for hospice. A lot of people give funds to hospice. A lot of people have a softness in their heart for children, so they give to St. Jude's or the Children's Hospital. Lots of things you can do with your money. So don't think that you don't care. You care about yourself and your care, and you care about, you can really put your money to good use. And I work with a lot of people who do exactly that. We come up with a plan. They really don't know what to do. We come up with a plan of what they can do that would make them feel good. Hey, you feel good when you help people. Hey, you have open lines right here to call to ask an attorney all about Florida law. It's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. I have a speaking engagement coming up. You know, I meant to look. I don't know if it's this coming Wednesday or the following Wednesday. It's at, I think it's this coming Wednesday, though. But you can call my office if you want to go, and we'll give you directions and everything. I'm going to be at the First Baptist Church of Indian Rocks on a Wednesday night. And I will be, what we do is we have a little version. I come in and talk about charitable giving, something like I just started with. Talk about estate planning, answer questions from the audience. It's Wednesday night. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's this Wednesday coming or the following Wednesday. I just didn't look at my calendar this morning before the show to confirm. But I know it's one of those two Wednesdays. I think it's the following Wednesday. Not this coming, but the following. If you really want to know and really want to come, we'd love to have you. It's open to the public, and you can call my office, and they can give you the exact time and address. Hello?
Hello? Yes. Hi.
Who am I talking to now? Hello? All right. So, I don't know. There's nobody on my call screen here that was supposed to be on right now, but I'm not sure who that was. But if you'd like to call my office, I'd love to have you come to the Indian Rocks Baptist Church, 6 o'clock, and it's the following Wednesday, I believe. But you can call my office to confirm that, and they'll give you directions and everything, and take your name and answer any other questions that you have. If you'd like to call the show now, though, you have an open line at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. 9673. Phone lines are open here to help. All you have to do is to dial that number. I had a question this week where a distribution was going to go to like a 22-year-old. Well, if the parent died, 22-year-old would get a sizable amount of money. And so the conversation went, well, he just wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm concerned he and his friends would waste it. And what can you do? So we developed a little plan of what age he would start to get it. Could be used for his benefit prior to that age, and then it'd be stretched like over a 10-year period, so he wouldn't get it and waste it all at once. Let's go to Gary in Palm Harbor. Hey, Gary.
Thank you for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
My question relates to an employment contract
mm-hmm.
and the enforceability on an employee to comply with the confidentiality and non-compete conditions of that employment contract.
Are you asking, if that would be a valid provision to put in there?
Well, no, I know it's a valid provision.
Okay. Uh-huh.
My question is,
what to do if they violate it?
And if it was non-voluntary, where the employee was terminated for cause,
mm-hmm.
What right does the employee have to enforce that non-compete agreement on the employee?
They have absolute authority to enforce it. You can get injunctions to stop activity. You can sue for damages. You can do lots of things to stop the activity that was agreed to in a contract. I mean, there's consideration of a salary based on that contract. An employer has every right to try to protect their business by enforcing it. Do you know if there were provisions in the contract about how a person could be terminated? And was there any question or doubt that the for cause was a valid reason? I mean, there are sides on the employee's side, too. I mean, I'm not trying to be one-sided here, so try to look at both sides. But if the employee was terminated for cause, but there really wasn't a valid cause, that's another whole reason for damages from the employee's side.
Sure. The reasons that were documented are valid
mm-hmm.
and would stand. I just didn't know if the employer surrendered their enforceability because they terminated the employee for cause.
No, I don't. So well, it might, there might be a paragraph in the contract about it, but generally I would say no. They didn't give up anything when they terminated them for cause.
Perfect.
All right. All right, well,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Mary in St. Pete.
Good morning.
Hey, Mary.
How do you get my oldest son is a bad son. My youngest son is a good son.
Mm-hmm.
Good son.
Mm-hmm.
I had cancer in 2012. My husband passed away almost 2 years ago. So I'm all by myself here. But my oldest son is kind of like a freeloader. Not in my house, but he was staying in one of my rental houses for free
mm-hmm.
for about 3 years. And he's argumentative. I asked him to either pay up or move because I need to wrap up my loose ends before I die.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't move out, so I had a property management company try to take over. He didn't receive the paperwork. He wouldn't open the door. So I just went to an eviction lawyer, and he was evicted legally. So that
mm-hmm.
I got my writ of possession back for that house. He got out, but he will not. He says he can't get a job now because that's on his record.
Mm-hmm.
So he's blaming me. He's bothering me. I'm in the process of writing him literally out of everything I own and leaving it to my good son. And
mm-hmm.
my mother's already written this older son off, but he will not leave me alone.
You can get an injunction.
That would, he doesn't have to, just an injunction just for him to not contact?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You might try that.
And just see a lawyer for that, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I do have a lawyer for my all my trust and power of attorney.
Yeah, ask your attorney about getting an injunction. Has he ever threatened you, though?
No, but he thinks that he's he thinks I'm being taken advantage of,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not. You know, he's called my doctors, and it's like, you really can't do that.
Well, doctors won't talk to him about your medical records for sure.
I know. He's almost threatened to take me to court to get this writ of possession reversed so that it's not on his records. That's what he's blaming the fact on. He can't get a job as a pharmacist.
Wow. Well, I think talk to your attorney about the possibility of getting some type of injunction to keep him from bothering you.
Yeah, he's really kind of like, he's the only one that's bothering me.
Yeah.
And stealing peace of mind. And I know I'm not the only person out there that has a problem kid.
No, I'm sure you're not. I mean, I talk to people in the estate plan. You're not obligated to give him anything in the estate plan.
Oh, no.
And I do documents every week where children are omitted for various reasons from receiving anything. So you certainly can do that. I would talk to your attorney about possibly getting some type of injunction. Maybe the attorney can also write him a letter, but to stay away from you, that you do not wish him to be, that the attorney can explain he has no rights to know your medical information or to be involved in your life, and you have the attorney write a letter that he stop bothering you and stay away from you, or the attorney will seek some type of an injunction to enforce that, if possible. Maybe have the attorney write him a letter first.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
He's taking away peace of mind.
Yeah, I understand. I know
that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Tommy in Tampa. Hey, Tommy.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I was wanting to know about if you're familiar with family limited partnerships, which I am part of with my brother and sister, which would make me 33% interest, and
okay.
My brother, 33, my sister, 33.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like an estate planning tool,
right?
Where basically,
yeah, it's also an asset protection. Yeah, it's also an asset protection tool. Who's the general manager of it?
Parents are the controlling partners.
The parents,
and so we are limited. Mm. My parents,
yeah, okay, uh-huh.
My mother and father, and so basically it's set up where when they die, that basically instead of a big inheritance battle. Basically, the three siblings would be in control after they pass away.
Okay.
But being a limited partner, the children don't have any control over the assets at this time until they pass away.
Right.
Now my problem is that I'm going through a divorce, and I've already settled on the marital assets, but now the wife's attorney is trying to tell the judge that I am worth more money in the family limited partnership,
mm-hmm.
that she should rule in her favor because there's assets in the family limited partnership. And I'm in a dilemma where the amount of the estate that's in that is, you know, a fair amount. And
yeah, but the limited partnership, the limited partnership can be valued less because you own a third of it, and it's a family limited partnership. There's a way to evaluate. That's one of the benefits of a limited partnership, is that your share can be value. It can have a value less than the real value because you only have a third interest and you're not in charge. So, do you have an attorney,
right.
though?
Well, she's.
Do you have an attorney yourself?
Yes, but I'm not sure if they are all on the same page because the judge is trying to believe that because of that the alimony should be set at a high rate. I mean, mm-hmm. like $4,500 a month, which mm-hmm. I don't make that much, but the tax returns, because every time we do the tax returns, which is coming up, shows that because I'm 33% and my brother and sister, we don't receive the income that of the profits that are in the businesses. You see, My mm-hmm. parents, they're the controlling ones, and they receive all the assets and the profits. And the children are pretty much given just enough money to pay the taxes each year from the family limited profits.
Well, I would ask you, your attorney how many of these type cases he's argued before. What's his experience level in arguing the value of a limited partnership? And then if the attorney says, well, no, this is my first one, then I would get somebody a little bit more experienced that can argue the valid point between the judge that you don't really have.
You heard of anyone in the same dilemma?
I think it's just the way that the limited partnership can be valued and explained to the court of what you actually get from it. And it's a little less value than it's worth, as you can see yourself. So I would ask the attorney how many times he's argued this point before a judge, what experience does he have arguing the value of a limited partnership and see what he or she says? And then maybe he can seek some other help.
He's supposedly very experienced, but I just didn't know if I was a rare commodity on this situation.
No, you get enough to pay the taxes, basically?
That's it. We don't get any check. We don't get any monthly income or any benefit during the year except for April.
So it's just a paper number. What you get is just basically a paper number of what you never really receive.
Right, it's a phantom.
And have you heard your attorney try to explain that to the judge?
Yes. We are going through it. I had to hire a different lawyer because, unfortunately, the ruling was way in her favor. It was like 90% of any income that I was receiving. I was working two jobs, and then I just recently lost my other jobs. So I basically have one job, and then I have a little trust income that comes in. So I'm really in a dilemma.
Yeah. Well, I have a family law attorney on my staff, and I don't do. I used to do family law a long time ago, and I decided I'd rather spend most of my time doing estate planning. But I do have a family law attorney, but you're currently represented, so you need to decide if you're being represented the best you can. For that issue in particular and how much experience they have dealing with that and what the outcomes have been before, and then maybe talk to another attorney if you're not satisfied with that answer. I wish you well.
All right,
thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Joe in Sarasota. Joe, are you there? Hello? Yes.
Yes, this is Joe. Thank you for making my call. You're an awesome show.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
My question is, I live in a condo community. They're single-family homes. We passed an amendment 2 years ago to keep investors from buying the single-family homes here.
Mm-hmm.
And he purchased one, the investor. He purchased two. Then we made the amendment that they can't own anymore. Mm-hmm. So what he did is he took a renter and put his name on his LLC. And I was wondering, is that legal, that if a man is just put on the LLC, does that make him an owner?
Well, it depends. You know, he could have a 1% share of the LLC. So he put him on there, but not as a 100% owner.
Right. I read the document, and the document doesn't say how many shares he has.
Yeah.
It just says that he's a shareholder.
Well, there you go. He could be a 1% owner. So does the language of whatever you, well, one the investor owns 99% and the 1% interest in the renter makes him an owner. So, but he owns a very, very small part of it.
So he could do this again with another person.
Well, yeah, right? It depends on how strong the language is of what the amendment y'all created. You know, an owner is an owner. An owner can be a 100% owner. An owner can be a 1% owner. So you might have to draft more language to protect against somebody doing an LLC and making somebody a 1% owner. They might have beat you at your own game. You need to have maybe a stronger rule about that to protect investors from coming in there and doing the same thing.
What kind of rule would that be? So I can suggest this to our attorney, you know?
Well, the resident must be a majority ownership of any LLCs or corporations that own the property.
Okay, so
that would be better than allowing somebody to have, you know, a 1% interest in being considered an owner.
Okay, so we put in the language majority. It sounds like that's the key.
Yeah,
word.
And you could even, it could be a big majority. It could be 75% or 90%, or you have to create some language where it's not going to be a 1% owner. It can have the right to live there, as with some investors trying to make everybody a 1% owner.
Okay, that sounds, that makes sense. It sounds logical. Okay, I think I know where we have to go with this.
All right, thanks for calling. Hope I helped. All right,
thank you, sir.
All right,
thank you kindly. Bye.
All right, let's go to Gene and Lutz.
Good morning, Mr. Pippin.
How are you?
I have a question. I was, if and when I should go into a nursing home, can the nursing home take my small nest egg?
Well, okay, so we do have a full-time Medicaid attorney on staff that plans and helps people protect their assets when they go in a nursing home. Your homestead would be an exempt, non-countable asset, and most of your other financial assets can be put in what's called a personal service contract, and everything can be totally protected so you could possibly qualify for Medicaid. So there are ways to protect your money is my answer.
Okay.
And having a good estate plan with a power attorney that gives the proper power to do.
I have a living trust.
Yeah, do you have a power attorney as well?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so the power attorney should there's been a new, you know, a fairly new power attorney where there's some special transactions, and you have to initial the powers that concern Medicaid and creating personal service contracts and so forth.
So, in other words, I might have to go into Medicaid, get off Medicare.
No. Well, okay. So if you go into a nursing home, and you're unable to do some major function for yourself, and you have the proper power of attorney giving someone the power to do planning for you, you might be able to get Medicaid benefits, which means Medicaid would pay for the nursing home. But your assets have to be organized in such a way where you qualify. And the power of attorneys that we draft for our clients have these special transaction powers, they call them, but the client has to initial those. So not having seen your power of attorney, I don't know if you have the best power of attorney you can have, but we don't charge anything for reviews of documents. And a power of attorney is only like $150 that has all the special language in there so you would qualify, so...
Okay. Do you have someone in my area that I could contact?
Yeah, we have an office in Tampa, and a lot of our—I actually go to church there in Lutz. I go to Idlewild, which is probably not too far from you, but
yes, I have been there many times.
Yeah, but you can call the office and it'll work out the closest location.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. Bye bye.
Our office phone number for all of you who might be interested is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Again, we have offices all over Florida. We have offices in Pinellas. We have offices, two offices in Pinellas. We have two in Hillsborough County. We have two in Polk County. Offices in Pasco. We have two there also, Trinity and Zephyr Hills. We have offices in Manatee, Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Sun City Center. Offices in Davenport, the Orlando area. St. Augustine, in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra, and a few other locations there. If you want to call us again at 1-800, no charge for first appointments. 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You want to email me, it's Joe, my first name, Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. Let's go to Nancy in Sarasota.
Hey, Nancy. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling with a question. My brother saw his roof and became paralyzed. I hired an attorney to take care of the power washer that he was using caught on fire. The attorney therefore hired a special needs trust attorney to set up a special needs trust for my brother because he got a settlement from the machine catching on fire. The special needs trust attorney, I brought my brother to meet with him. He met with him probably twice. And then from the onset of the meeting, 3 weeks later, my brother passed away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial attorney that I hired prepaid the special... The attorney I hired chose this special needs trust attorney and prepaid him $4,000 for my brother's special needs trust. Because my brother passed away, I also used this attorney to probate my brother's estate, which was very simple. And he owned a house, and that was pretty much, he was single, no kids, that's it. The special needs trust, I asked him if he could reimburse me the $4,000 because the special needs trust was never initiated or put on paper, and he said no. And I asked him why, and he said he put a lot of work into it. I said, well, you know, my brother passed away, and there's no special needs trust. So this is what also happened. Because of my brother dying so suddenly, my brother passed on his home to me on a quick claim deed years ago.
Did you sign Did you sign a contract that said non-refundable fee?
I didn't. I don't believe my brother did either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was kind of upset at the initial attorney that he prepaid him prior to the document being completed. You know, my idea is we will give you a deposit, but we'll pay you when the document is completed. Mm-hmm. So because my brother died suddenly like this, he told me that I would have to wait 2 years to get the proceeds of my brother's estate, which was basically the residue of my brother's accident. The attorneys mm-hmm. took 40-50%. And then after paying off Medicaid, which was about $170,000, was hardly anything left over. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. I mean, it was under $100,000.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen. I think the answer to your question about the $4,000, I would tell the attorney that you would like to mediate the payment. Okay. You would like to have a mediation. The Florida bar does have, when a client disagrees with an attorney fee, the Florida bar does have a mediation type of program to where you can go through a mediation. Just suggest that you would like to do that and see what happens next.
Very good.
Thank All right. If you have other questions, you can just call me off the air. I'll be glad to talk to you.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank Bye-bye. You. All right. Let's wind up with Peter in Sun City Center.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Peter. We got less than 2 minutes, but I wanted to take your call.
All right.
What can
This is 96.3.
96.3. Yes, sir. I know exactly who you are. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Joe. One of our volunteers had been maintaining our web page for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And without me knowing it, he took ownership of our domain name. And now he's mad at us, and he won't give me control over the web page unless I pay him kind of sort of what I would consider as a ransom, a larger sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as stealing my intellectual property?
Well, I think it might be. I'd be glad to talk to you about it when I'm in Sun City Center Wednesday, and we'll figure out what we can do about it, if anything.
Yeah, because it's a big mess, and we are probably going to lose our whole web page unless I pay up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd be glad to talk to you. Maybe we can work something out. But Peter, I'd be glad to help you if I can. All right. Thanks. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week, Saturday mornings at 8:00. If you have legal issues, or maybe you have friends that have legal issues, please tell them about the show, and you have a great weekend. So long.